all confronted with the urgency to fight for life, to fight for what we're believing for, to fight to protect what we have, and to fight for the future. And so I want to spend a few moments today talking about that battle. I'm going to put a verse up in a moment. And if you're in a battle right now, I want you to claim it. If you're in a battle right now, you've got things kind of surrounding you and you feel the pressure. How many of you know the struggle is real? Come on, the struggle of life is real. I know that. I just don't stand on this stage and preach to people. I talk to people. And whenever I talk to people, I feel the struggle. I feel the battle. I feel the pain. I feel the emotional heartache of what they're going through and the pressures of what they're going through. And yet I see people turn up in church every week and lift their hands and praise God and worship God and put their smile on and welcome other people. Yet I know they're going through battles. They're going through circumstances, they're going through situations. And so if that's you today, I want to say good on you today, because that's exactly what you need to do. When you're in a battle, you got to know where to run. When you're in a battle, you got to know who surrounds you, who's for you, who's on your side. So if you're in a battle right now, I want you to claim this verse. I want you to name this verse. I want you to declare this verse. I want you to prophesy this verse. I want you to write this verse on your window or your mirror at home and stick it up in your bathroom, this verse, because this verse is going to help you in the middle of your battle. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. Where this is what the prophet says to King Jehoshaphat. He says, you will not have to fight this battle. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you. So do not be afraid. Come on, I'm speaking it to your heart today in the middle of your battle. This is not your battle. This is not your battle. Take up your position. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face it. Go out and face it tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. You will not have to fight this battle, is what the prophet said to King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. Said to him, take up your position. Take up your posture. Take your place. Stand firm and see what God will do. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Face them and I will be with you. It's not my battle. What a great message. It's not my battle. You know, when you're in the middle of a battle, you just need to know you've got someone else that's going to help you. Someone's going to stand beside you. Someone else that's going to surround you. Someone else that's going to help you when you're in the middle of the fight. And here the word of the Lord to the king was, it's not your battle. Here's the big thought. When it comes to battles, what do you do when a battle turns up that you didn't choose? What do you do when a fight comes to your doorstep that you didn't ask for? You didn't welcome it. You didn't initiate it. You weren't looking for it. You didn't ask for it. It just arrived at your P.O. box unannounced. It came to you in the way of a bad report, a doctor's report. It came to you with a broken relationship. It came to you through your financial world with an implosion. It came to you through an emotional meltdown. It came to you through being overwhelmed with what's happening in life. No matter how it came, we all know that these battles come when the devil drops something off at your doorstep for you to deal with that you didn't want. What do you do? Well, Jehoshaphat, he's the king of Judah. And Jehoshaphat, he is in exactly that situation. He didn't ask for this battle. He didn't want this battle. He wasn't looking for this battle. This battle came to him. And it came in a season when the nation of Judah was in incredible spiritual momentum. There was a real awakening going on under the leadership of King Jehoshaphat. Then all of a sudden, he finds himself in the nation in this incredible spiritual battle that came this way. An incredible spiritual battle that challenged his leadership. And it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, it says this, it says, after this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some of the Meunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. And some people came and told the king, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea, and it's already in Hazen Tamar. The enemy was sneaking up on Jehoshaphat. The enemy was vast, this vast army was approaching and sneaking up on the king of Judah and the nation. He had no time to lodge a defense. He had no time to think through a strategy. He had no time to get ready for this because the army was coming, and the army was coming quickly. You know, I think that kind of thing happens to all of us. There are things that come, there are reports that come, there are circumstances that change, and they change rapidly, they change quickly, and they kind of sneak up from behind, and they come into our world, and they're uninvited, they're unwanted, they're unwarranted. We're not looking for them, we're not inviting them, we're not welcoming them, but they just come. And there comes moments when they're at our door and they catch us off guard. And the truth is, when what we didn't see coming comes, we need to go to the one who sees all. We need to go to the one who sees all when what we didn't see is coming and coming quick. We've got to know how to fight our battles. Church, we need to know how we're going to fight our battles. And Jehoshaphat made a decision. The Bible says he went to inquire of the Lord. He went to inquire of the Lord. So in other words, the surprise attack drove him into the presence of God. The surprise attack drove him into the presence of God. I think it's the best place you can be when the storm's coming. I think that's the best place you can go and run to when the battle comes, is to run into the presence of the Lord. Look at what the next verse says in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. It says the king was alarmed. Jehoshaphat was alarmed, and yet he resolved. He was alarmed, and yet he resolved to inquire of the Lord. And so the response of the king is urgent. He's alarmed, but he's not shaken. He's alarmed, but he's not shaken. He is resolved to go and ask God, is this my battle? Is this my battle, God? And he knows in his mind, and he's predetermined in his mind, where he's going to run to. And so the thought for us today is, when the battle comes, you must know where to run. When the battle comes, you must know where to run. You must know where to look. You must know where to hide. And Jehoshaphat has a certain response, and his response is, I'm going to inquire of the Lord. This is a learned response. You know, it's a learned response to run into the shelter of the name of the Lord. It's a learned response to know where to run. There are a lot of people that have a level of faith, and when the pressure comes and the storm comes and the battle breaks, they don't run to God, they don't inquire of the Lord, they just fall apart. I understand falling apart. And it's okay to fall apart, but if you're going to fall apart in the presence of the Lord. If you're going to fall apart in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of your helper. You see, two chapters prior to this story, Jehoshaphat learned a lesson. He learned a lesson when he, in a moment of building a friendship with another king, the king of Israel, whose name was Ahab. He was an evil king. And he built a friendship with King Ahab, this evil king, in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And Ahab wanted to go and pick a fight and go to war. And so Jehoshaphat said, well, I'll come to war to you if the prophets say that this is the right thing to do. Because in that day and age, the prophets would always speak to the king to give them direction. And so they inquire. Ahab says, let's ask my prophets, the prophets of Baal. And they were the prophets of a false god. And they said, yeah, go into battle. You'll win a great victory, a wonderful victory. And Jehoshaphat was a little nervous with that thought. And he said, well, is there any prophets of God left in the land that I could ask for? And a prophet called Micaiah stands up. And his name comes to the mind of King Ahab. And Ahab says, well, there's Micaiah. But he said, I don't like Micaiah. Because every time I ask Micaiah to prophesy, he prophesies something bad to me. So I'm not going to ask Micaiah what the word of the Lord is. I want my prophets to speak. And of course, his prophets were deceiving him. So Micaiah is called. And Micaiah comes into the presence of the king. And Micaiah says, yeah, go on, you go fight the battle and you'll have a great victory. But you, Ahab, you will lose your life. You will lose your life. And so they didn't believe Micaiah and what he had to say. They went into battle. They fought this battle, and King Ahab loses his life, and Jehoshaphat escapes the battle only just. He only barely escapes from that battle with his life. And so he learned a lesson. He learned a lesson. Make sure you listen to the word of the Lord. Make sure you listen to the word of the Lord and to the prophet. Do you know, church, when it comes to our battles, there's some battles that are not ours to fight. There are some battles that are not ours to fight. And we need to understand who the battle really belongs to. We need to understand who the battle really belongs to. And this is the question Jehoshaphat's asking in this story. He's asking, God, is this my battle? Is this my fight? Is this what I should be involved in? Is this what you've called me to do as the leader of Judah, as the king of Judah? And we're exactly the same in terms of giving leadership to our life, in being kings and priests in our world, in our family, in our church, in our leading, what we do, in the governance of our world. We need to inquire of the Lord, is this my fight? Is this what you've called me to do? Is this my battle that I need to fight? Because I need to know what my battle is and what my battle is not. And so Jehoshaphat, the Bible says, he sought the Lord. He resolved to inquire of the Lord. It says he was shocked, but not shaken. He was shocked. You ever been shocked by news? You ever been shocked by something that's come to you? A report that's come, some brokenness that's happened? You're shocked by it, but you're not shaken. And here the king is not shaken. And so he's able to run to the Lord and to inquire of the Lord because his vast enemy is quickly approaching him. Maybe you're here today and you've got something chasing you. Maybe you're here today and you've got something bigger than you that's coming after you. Maybe you're here today and you've got something bigger in your world that you just cannot handle. If that's you today, you need to know that it's not your battle. You need to know that God's fighting on your behalf. You need to know that God will stand around you. He will surround you. He'll be all over you. He will smother you. You need to know God's got you covered in the middle of your battle. Here's the thought about battles. It's the nature of the battle that determines the nature of the strategy. The response is determined by the nature of the battle. What's the nature of the battle that I'm fighting? And herein lies the issue for a lot of believers. We quite often forget the nature of our battle. We quite often forget who our enemy really is. We quite often forget who it is that we're really fighting. Because if you don't understand the nature of the battle, you'll not employ the right strategy. If you don't understand the nature of the battle, you won't employ the right strategy. You know, the truth is, if it's bigger than you, it's God's battle. Yeah. Come on, if it's bigger than you, it's God's battle. If you can sort it out, sort it out. Yeah. If you can solve it, solve it. Yeah. If you can make it right, make it right. If you can do it, do it. But if you're left undone, you've got to understand you're undone and you need someone bigger than you. You need someone bigger than your world that can help solve this problem that is bigger than you. And so Jehoshaphat, what he did was he surrounded himself with the priest. He surrounded himself with the Levites, those that were in the temple of Solomon to serve the Lord. And he surrounded himself with them and he went to the throne and he prayed this prayer. Listen to the prayer. This is an amazing prayer. This is going to teach you so much about how to come before God. And this is what Jehoshaphat did. It says, Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly, literally the church of the day, Solomon's temple. He stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard. And he said this is what he said to God. He said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel and give this land, the promised land? Did you not give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? Can you notice and see what Jehoshaphat's doing here? He's reminding God of who God is and what God has done. He's reminding God of the history that is already taking place. And he's shifting focus from what's against him to who's for him. I think this is a great strategy when we come before God and we pray or we praise and we worship. That we shift the strategy from what's happening in our world and all the trouble and all the strife and everything that's not right. And we shift our focus onto the one that is right and the one that is bigger and the one that can solve it and sort it out and the one that does surround us in the middle of our battles, to shift the focus onto him. So he reminds God of what God has already done. He reminds God of how far God has already brought them. And he said, God, you gave us this land. You've given us this possession, this promised land. You've spoken this into being for us, and you've given it to us forever. In other words, he's saying, God, they're not going to take it away. They're not going to take away what you've given me. Church, can I say this to you? The enemy cannot take away what God has given you. The enemy cannot take away the possession and the promise that God has promised that you would have. And so literally the king is saying, God, it's not finished here. It doesn't finish at this point. He goes on and he says, well, they lived in the land, and we built in this land a church, a sanctuary that's for your name. It's a place for you. And in that church, in that sanctuary, if calamity comes upon us like it is right now, whether the sword of judgment or famine comes, we will stand in your presence. Listen to this, church. We will stand in your presence before this church and before this temple that bears your name. And we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and you will save us. And then he says, but now here are the men from Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. Note those words. He said, these enemies that are coming against us, God, you were the one that said we could not kick them out when we invaded from Egypt. And so they turned away from them and they did not destroy them. In other words, Jehoshaphat's saying, God, this fight is not my fight, because this battle is not my battle, because this is not my fault. This is not my fault. It's not my fault, God. You were the one that said, leave them alone, and now they're coming after us. When we came into this promised land, you said, leave them alone for some reason. And so we left them alone, and now they're attacking us to try and take over our possession and to kick us out of the land. He's saying, God, you wouldn't let us deal with this problem. You wouldn't let us deal with these people. You told Moses not to drive them out because they were the relatives of Esau. And Esau was the son of Isaac. And Isaac was the son of Abraham. And Abraham was your friend. So because you wouldn't let us touch them because of Abraham's friendship with you, now we have this trouble. So this is not my fault. And then he says in verse 11, see how they're repaying us? And they're coming to drive us out now, God, out of the possession that you gave us as an inheritance. Church, can I say this to every one of us today? If God gave this to you, if God gave a possession to you, he will protect it. If God gave you a possession, he will protect it. When God gives you a promise, he protects it. If you're God's possession today and you're looking after something on his behalf, in other words, you're a steward of something on behalf of God, and he gave you that thing to possess, then it's not about your power to protect it. It's about his. It's about his power to protect it. And so God's possession is God's problem. I love handing my problems over to God. His possession is his problem. His church, it's his problem. I've got to remind him of that, because I can't cope with the problems. The problems keep me awake if I try and cope with them myself. It's his problem. It's his possession. It's his land. It's his circumstance that he's got to take care of. God gave me this. Whatever it is that God has given you, whatever it is God has called you to possess and to manage on his behalf and a steward on his behalf, it's his problem. And so Jehoshaphat prays, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us, and we don't know what to do. Have you ever been in a position where you haven't known what to do? Come on, church. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in that place of, God, I just don't know. Literally, I don't know what to do next. I don't know what my next steps should be. He says, we don't know what to do, but listen to this. But our eyes, where are they? They're on you. Our eyes are on. When you don't know what to do, you need to know where your eyes should be. You need to know where your eyes should be when you don't know what to do, where your focus is going to be. So that if it's bigger than us and we don't know what to do, our eyes need to be on the one that absolutely knows what to do, that knows which way to go, which way to turn, what to say, what response to give. Our eyes need to be on the Lord in those dark moments. So here's the thought for every one of us. Stop looking at how big it is. Stop looking at how big it is and start praising God for how great God is. great God is. That's where we need to get our focus, on the greatness of God, on the immensity of God, on the unlimited potential and power and creativity and miracle working power of God rather than it. I don't know what it is in your world, but whatever it is, it's not as powerful and great as God is. So lift up your eyes. David said, I will lift up my eyes from where my help comes. My help comes from the Lord. We need to understand the nature of the battle. And I think this is where often Christians lose the battle, because they don't really understand the nature of the battle. Paul says this in Ephesians. He says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood. Our fight is not against other people. Our fight is not against human beings. Our fight is not against each other. Our fight is not against anyone. Our fight, Paul says, our enemy is evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. In other words, Paul says our battle is a spiritual battle. Our battle is primarily and predominantly a spiritual battle. The it's come against us, no matter how they present, no matter what the label is, no matter what the report is, no matter what the brokenness is, there are spiritual forces behind it. You can't deny it. You need to recognize it, that it's a spiritual battle that God has us in. So I need a spiritual response, and I need to put down my sword, and I need to pick up the sword of the Spirit, and I need to get myself in the presence of the Lord, and I need to know how I'm going to fight my battles. How am I going to fight? This is how I fight my battles. That's what I need to know, is how I'm going to respond and fight my battles. Because the truth is, if it's too big for you, then it's too big for you. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, and he stood up in the assembly, and he said this. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged because of this vast army. This is where we started. For the battle is not yours. The battle is God's. We need to know whose battle it is. And there's a lot of things that are confronting me. There's a lot of things that come against me. There's a lot of things that confront you. There's a lot of things that come against you that are not your battle. So stop fighting the battle that's not your battle, because if it's too big for you, it's not yours. If it's too big for you, it's not yours. You have a big God behind you. You have a big God surrounding you to help you fight this battle. Now, I know all of that, and I understand all of that. But when I put my head down on the pillow at night, my head's trying to fight that battle. When I try to sleep, I stress. Anyone else out there stress? Come on. Anyone else out there worry rather than worship? Come on, don't look at me like that. We do. We worry more than we worship. We protest more than we praise. We stress more than we sing. We worry like it's ours. And we waste our energy stressing and worrying about things that we should be worshiping over. And we need to know, we need to relearn, and we need to reinvent the ways that we fight our battle. The king was told, tomorrow, march down against them. You know what worship does for you? You know what praise does for you? When you come into this building, when you gather with people that are believers around your world, when you get together with a connect group of the people that you're journeying through life with during the week, and can I suggest everyone needs that? You need more than a Sunday boost. You need your Tuesday triumph, your team, your tribe, your crew, your peeps, your whatever you call them nowadays. Whoever they are, whatever label you put on them, you need those that, you know, you can shoot a Facebook message to and say, how do I fight my battles again? Because this battle I'm facing, it's big at the moment. And you need some praise people and some worshiping people around your world. They're going to hold your hands up. They're going to help you be strong. They're going to speak into your world. They're not going to be able to have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I don't pretend to have all the answers. I sat with one of the members of our church this week, Tim Mayer, who many of you know Tim. Tim's been in our church for years and years and years. He doesn't get here very often because he's a bus driver and it's kind of a difficult journey for him. And Tim's son was one of the men that got lost at sea in Moreton Bay just a few weeks ago. And so his young son was lost. We got a text. We were away on holidays. Tim sent me a text and said, "Would you pray? My boy's one of the boys that got lost at sea." They've not found him. They've not found his mate. They've recovered a boat. They've recovered a fishing bucket. And some fishing line. And that's all they found. And Tim went out every day as a father with other members of the family and has gone through every bit of water they could out there. Walked around every island they could, checked under every mangrove, looking for his son. What a battle. What a battle. And what answers do you give someone when they're in that battle? What do you say to someone when they're in that battle? When they're in that moment? I have nothing to say in that moment. I have nothing to say. But all I can do is look into the eyes of that human being that sits in front of me and speak to them about the grace, the love, the mercy of God for them in their world, and not to give Christian cliches that can never satisfy a human soul when it's in grief and loss and sorrow. And Tim knows how to fight his battles. He knows how to fight his battles. So he's fighting his battles. He'll be back here as soon as he can be. But he's at home and he's praying and he's worshiping and he's believing. And he's hurting, and he's grieving, and he's broken, and he's lost sense of clarity. And I've talked to him using Pastor Danny's thoughts, Pastor Danny Guglielmucci, who lost his son who was killed by a lightning bolt several years ago. And Pastor Danny, he couldn't understand how that happened. His son was a minister of the gospel, good man, struck dead by a lightning bolt. And Danny says this: when you lose clarity, you need to understand sovereignty. You just need to understand sovereignty. And our role and our job is not to understand and process everything about everything. We can't in our humanness do that. We don't have the ability to hold that tension. God does in his wisdom. The reality is we live in a broken world. We live in a sinful world. The Bible says sin entered the world. When sin entered the world, death entered the world. And we live a part of this whole system, where things happen to good people that we don't understand. And things will happen to good people and we won't understand it. But here's what good people need to do for other good people who are struggling in the middle of a battle. We need to learn to stand with them. To stand with them. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to be able to explain this and that. I don't have to be able to explain why God didn't allow this to happen or that to happen. I can't give those answers. But what I can do is hold someone's arms up and hands up. What I can do is get around somebody and support somebody in the moment of their battle. And that's what we need to do. That's why you need your Tuesday night group, tribe, peeps, homies, whatever they might be. Have them around your world. And then you need your Sundays. You need to know where to run into the presence of God. You need this to teach you how to do it, so that come Monday when the battle's creeping at your door and you get that message and that battle has chosen you to come that week, that you need to know where to run, how to lift up your hands and fight this battle and face it and march against them and get yourself into position. This is what Jehoshaphat was told to do. Go and position yourself. And unfortunately, so many believers find themselves out of position when the battle comes. You don't want to be out of position when the battle comes. When the battle comes to your door, you need to know your posture and your position in life and where to run. The truth is, God will fight for Judah. Judah means praise. God will fight for praises. God will fight for worshippers. God will fight for those that have possessed something in his name. God will fight for his possession. He'll fight for his friends. He'll fight for his family. He'll fight for you. He will fight for your future. He will fight for everything that he has ever given and spoken that is yours in his name. If he has possessed it and given it to you and trusted it to you, then that possession is his problem. This is what it says. It says in verse 17, "You will not have to fight this battle. Just take up your posture, your position, and stand firm." What did Paul say? Having done all, stand. Having done all, stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow and the Lord will be with you. What's our role? Our role is to wage war on worship. Our role is to wage war with worship because worship gets our focus off it and it gets our focus onto him. Let me close by quickly going through the scriptures that finish the story. It says, Jehoshaphat then bowed down with his face to the ground. There's only one posture you need to have when you're in the middle of a battle, and that's bow. That's bow. That's bow. That's get yourself into the presence of God. And it says that all the people of Judah, everybody, all the people of Judah and Jerusalem, they fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some of the Levites, the priests from the Kohathites and the other tribe, they stood up and they praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. You know, when you're in a battle, you need some friends around you that are very godly. They're going to lift up a very loud voice. When you don't have a voice, you need to have some people that are going to raise a voice on your behalf. And I say this to our leaders often. When you're in church on a Sunday, you need to know you're not just worshiping for yourself. You're worshiping for the person that can't lift their hands, that can't sing the song. And don't ever be disturbed by the person that sits in church that can't literally lift their hands, that can't sing the song because they're in so much trouble, they're in so much turmoil, they're in so much heartache. Lift a song for them. Lift your hands for them. Praise for them. Worship for them. Help them feel the presence of God. Help them feel the presence of God. And so this is the response that Jehoshaphat gave, and some of them gave a very loud shout. Then it says, early the next morning, Jehoshaphat stood and he said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. What a beautiful thought. Have faith in the Lord and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, in the word of the Lord, and you will be successful. And so Jehoshaphat appointed some men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. You notice what it said? It said he appointed some to be singers and some to be musicians, and he sent them out ahead of everybody else. What a bizarre battle strategy. Let's get the singers out there. Let's get the musicians out front. Let's get the drummer. Juan, where are you? Come to stage, please. Come to stage right now, drummer. Way out front. You're leading the battle. Come on up here, right on those drums. You're leading the battle. Come on, this is how I fight my battles. We're going to send the musicians out. Can I have the rest of the musos, please? Come on to stage. This is how we're going to send the musicians way out front to help fight our battle is what we're going to do. We want the singers. Can we have the singers come to stage? Let the singers come. Give them all a big hand as they come. I want you to know that when these people do what they do, they don't just do what they do because they can do it. I like the fact they can do it. I like that. I've been to some churches where you see them play and sing and think, oh, yeah, please. They know what they're doing and they know how to do it. They don't come to entertain. It's not a club. You're not at a club tonight, today, this morning, whatever it is. You're not at a club. You're in the house of the Lord and they're appointed. And what God appoints, he anoints. What he appoints, he anoints. He anoints them. They're anointed to do it. There's an anointing on them to do this. There's an anointing on them to do this. There's an anointing on them to sing. There's an anointing on them to play. There's an anointing on them to bring the word of the Lord through what they do. And it says, as they began to sing, verse 22, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord sent ambushes. Would you notice that? What did the Lord do to the enemy? He confused him. He confused him. There's something that happens in a spirit of praise and a spirit of worship. There's something that happens in that place that I don't understand, but it brings a confusion about the enemy. I mean, God surrounds him and confuses them all. And it says that the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, that they were ambushed and they were defeated because they started to fight against each other. Would you stand to your feet for me today? You know what I want to do today? We're going to play a video in a moment. And then we're going to sing a song. Because this video and this song both match where I'm headed today and what I think God wants to do today. So in a few moments, we're going to play a video, and it's a song by Michael W. Smith called "This Is How I Fight My Battles." And it's really simple if you want to sing along. The words are, "This is how I fight my battles." And then you, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. That's all there is to this song. It's an anthem. It's an anthem over our battles and our moments. It's an anthem over depression. It's an anthem over discouragement. It's an anthem over anxiety, over worry. It's an anthem over emotional unwholeness. It's an anthem over brokenness. It's an anthem over bad news, over bad reports, over health reports. It's an anthem over relational brokenness. It's an anthem over anything that's affected in our world. It's an anthem over all the battles that face us, the battles even that we invited, even our own dum-dum, even our own stupid that has got us in a place and in a battle that we're fighting, that we fight daily. It's even in those battles, or the battles that are unwarranted, that are unwelcome. This song and this thought and the scriptures today are meant to be speaking prophetically into our hearts that this is not my battle, and so I'm going to fight this battle with the right strategy, because the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. We do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. That's what we come against today. So what I want you to do, if you're in the middle of a battle, I just want you to lose yourself for a few moments. I really just want yourself to be lost in God's presence and to let a spirit of praise and worship come up in your heart as we lean in to these songs. This is us taking our position. This is us taking our posture. This is us taking our place to see the deliverance that God will bring. You can look at the screens if you like while we do this.